Notice now as I turn here and begin reading verse 22. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Now, there's several things here that are, I think, interesting and important. The Passover cup went around seven times during the Passover feast, and during that time they would sing one of these great Hallel Psalms. And it was the seventh time around, which apparently he did not drink. But that's the time that he instituted the Lord's Supper with it. And that Lord's Supper now looks back to what he did for us on the cross 1900 years ago. The Passover looked forward to his coming. But the Passover will be restored for the millennial kingdom. We're going to see that especially in Ezekiel. And the reason, I think, for it is that it will in turn look back at that time to his coming as it had looked forward to his coming. I see no reason why if it couldn't look forward, it could also look backward. And that would bring out during the millennial kingdom the real meaning of the Passover, by the way. And Paul said, "Christ our Passover is offered for us." And when we come to verse 26, we find Peter here pledges his allegiance. "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And Jesus saith unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it's written, I'll smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I'm risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I'll not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all." By the way, not only Simon Peter, but the others. And we find here, first, that Simon Peter pledges his allegiance. And he was sincere, but he did not know, of course, his own weakness. That is the problem with most of us, that we do not know our own weakness today. And I personally believe that you don't find out about this in psychology. I think the only place that you can really see yourself is in the Word of God. That's the only mirror we have. I want to say that, and I want to read here just a little excerpt of what is being put out today. This is put out by a Christian organization, and it gives, I think, the wrong impression. It talks about the girl that had this problem, and she went to her pastor, and now I'm reading. After several talks together, the pastor realized he was not equipped to help her as much as she could be helped. He referred Betty to a competent Christian psychologist, one who, as a professional counselor, led Betty into a deeper understanding of the sources of her anxiety, many of them stemming from childhood experiences long since forgotten, but recalled and understood under the guidance of a skilled helper. The result? A Christian teen released from the grip of emotional problems and given a new relationship with herself, others, and the Lord. May I say, that type of a thing reads like Grimm's fairy story, "They lived happily ever after." Now, I happen to know that the Christian psychologist is no more competent to solve these problems today than the average pastor is. And we've been, I think, deluded today to believe that the Christian psychologists was able to say hocus pocus, acracadabra, and somehow or another the problems are solved. My friend, may I say to you, none of us know the depths of the human heart, and only the Word of God can let us see what a sinner we really are. And that was the problem here with Betty, by the way, and that's the problem with Vernon, and that's the problem with you. And I do not know who her pastor was, but I think he could have helped her had he known the Word of God. My feeling is today that we've put a wrong emphasis, and as a result, I find a great many people that get one problem solved. When they go to a Christian psychologist, they come away with two more problems, and the last estate of the man is worse than the first. Let's be very clear. The only solution to a problem is the Lord. You don't solve the problem and then be able to go to the Lord. You go to the Lord, and He is the chief and the great physician. And by the way, a very good psychologist. And He today can help us. He alone knows us. And He is the only one in the final analysis. I am rather insistent in saying this, as you can see, because I think it's important today that somebody say it. We are finding that a great many that are making merchandise of the ills of folk that actually only the Word of God can solve, and only God Himself. We'd only learn to go to Him and cast ourselves upon Him and recognize that we've got bad childhood. We got bad everything, friends. But He's a Savior for us, and we can go to Him. How wonderful it is to have someone to go with. Well, now notice here that we find that the Lord Jesus now tells them that He's going before into Galilee. He announces His resurrection. He said, the sheep are going to be scattered, but I'm going on into Galilee after my resurrection. I'll meet you there. And Simon Peter couldn't let it go. He said, though they be offended, I won't be offended. And you just didn't know. Hear again what He's saying. And our Lord prepares him for what's coming. But He lets him know that He is going to stand by him. And the Lord will stand by you in these cases that come to us like this. Even in the time of our most desperate and dastardly hour. And it certainly was that for this man.